Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our next guest is going to help us break down the NBA offseason, the NBA finals, and more. See how he'd react to seeing 2 8-foot to 10-foot-tall aliens in his backyard. Senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports, Jake Fisher, now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jake, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? I'm on the backyard. I'm in Brooklyn, so I got a back balcony. An 8-foot-tall alien right outside my window would be a little intimidating. I'm not going to lie.
What about two of them? I want to get a lot of NBA questions in for you, but my thing was I would take out a flamethrower in one hand and a beer in another and say, which one's it going to be, boys? And I feel like an alien would have to respect that.
Yeah. You're either with us or you're against us.
Yep. We're either bros or you're something else, and you don't want to be something else other than bros to me. I'll tell you that right now, aliens. Let's get to the NBA Finals. I'm just fascinated at how we got guys like J.J. Redick coming out and besmirching the name of Nikola Jokic. Because I see a disconnect between his on-court success and how people talk about him, but do you see a disconnect between Nikola Jokic's on-court success and his popularity?
I mean, in my personal life, my lens is definitely slanted because I'm an NBA person, and I feel like from friends around the league, but also people in my life that aren't in basketball, it seems like there's been an uptick and an increase of people who appreciate what this guy is doing. In terms of like his reputation and all that type of stuff, and his popularity too. I mean, it would all balloon and there'd be far more attention, far more love on Jokic if he was this outgoing guy in a public platform who like was willing to share himself. Part of why Giannis Antetokounmpo became a global superstar as the Bucks won the title was that he was giving these thoughtful, revealing, you know, emotional press conference, you know, the availabilities on a nightly basis. And Jokic is, from people I know him, like, and from my limited interaction with him in the locker room, like, he's got a great sense of humor, super funny dude, really a true leader in every sense of the word that everyone in Denver loves. He just doesn't really care about becoming a superstar. Like, this is a guy who people talk about when he, like, maybe he'll just retire early at a certain point and just go back to Serbia and go hang out with his horses that he all has over there. So I don't know if it's really, like, an issue about the media or, like, what fans want. I think he has put his own ceiling on how big of his reputation can get. You don't see him doing all these commercials and all that type of stuff.
When it's all said and done, I mean, you think Jokic will be, like, an all-time great? Will he be considered a transcendent type of player, like a Mount Rushmore type of guy?
What we saw last night between him and Jamal Murray was one of the greatest tag team 1-2 punch performances in NBA history. You know, a better overall impact performance than anything Shaq and Kobe ever did, than anything we saw LeBron and any of his teammates ever do, as much as him and Kyrie had those high scoring games against the Warriors. I mean, the league is so wide open right now. There's no guarantee that Denver gets back year after year after year. But, like, the last time this team was fully healthy and Jamal Murray was healthy, they were in the Western Conference Finals. So they're basically proving that when Jokic and Murray are at full strength, regardless of supporting cast, this team is going to at least get to that stage. And depending on how this finals run goes, like, they could steamroll their way to one. Why couldn't they win a couple more and continue to cement themselves higher and higher up that totem pole of NBA hierarchy? It's right now, they're trending in that direction. They're both well below 30 and still in their primes.
Jake Fisher on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline talking about the NBA Finals here. We got a little bit more. You know, we'll get into some Cavs here. We'll get some NBA offseason talk as well. But, you know, one more on the NBA Finals from my standpoint. How do you see the rest of this series going, Jake?
Last night, I saw a Denver team that figured out that their bread and butter two-man game with those two guys, Jokic and Murray, that Miami doesn't have a consistent answer for it. So the Heat have come back from every single type of adversity they faced all playoffs, even falling into a 3-3 game seven on the road after being up 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? But right now, this Denver team has faced so little resistance all playoffs, and when they figured out how to go kind of into cruise control against an opponent, you know, they drop two games against Phoenix in the second round and then just obliterate the Suns in games 5 and 6. I'm starting to worry for the Heat that maybe Denver's in that position right now, and this thing could maybe even get wrapped up in 5 games.
Jake, looking to the Cavs here, they had 51 regular season wins. Then they go out in that first round series, and, you know, it's a gentleman's sweep, but in reality, they got their asses kicked for 99% of that series. I know you talk to a lot of people around the NBA. I know you have a lot of sources on this. Do we know if the Cavs' internal messaging matches that sunshiny outward messaging after they got their asses kicked about 51 regular season wins, or is there maybe more internal concern after the way the playoffs went?
No, there was definitely a lot of disappointment when that season was over. I don't think it was all sunshine and rainbows, and we had a great regular season. I don't think the team is panicking and the sky's falling and, oh my gosh, trading for Donovan was a mistake and he's hitting the foot with New York, we should trade him, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think the top, like, Cleveland right now, they don't have a first round pick. I think they're down at like 53 or something like that. Excuse me for not knowing that off the top of my head. They got to figure out Caris LeVert's free agency, and they got to figure out how to find this long last elusive piece of a real 3-and-D wing to piece together this all-star backcourt of Mitchell and Darius Garland, and then obviously their front court with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And I mean, Evan Mobley kind of revealed himself to be a little bit further behind the expectations of what his impact is in the playoffs in terms of offensively. And there was all this talk in the preseason last year about how Mobley was working on his jumper all offseason. He was going to be knocking down threes. He was going to be this, you know, dynamic playmaker. And he did flash a lot of ability with the ball in his hands as a passer and as someone who could create out the bounce a little bit. But he was far behind, I think, the reputation of what his ultimate ceiling is trending towards compared to where he is right now. So I think there is some hope and belief that just like another year together, fixing some things more on the margins, this group can take another step forward and get back to the playoffs and learn from their shortcomings that they had against New York. But no, I don't think they were satisfied with that loss at all. I mean, I think Cleveland has much higher aspirations than just falling out to New York and having a 50-win regular season.
Jake, that's obviously from the Cavs side of things. A little bit of paranoia creeping in on whether Donovan Mitchell's going to want to be here long-term. Any sense on where Donovan is after 1 year in Cleveland?
I don't think there's any immediate concern. I mean, that's part of the thought where you could see Cleveland start to maybe at this point next year. If they don't take a step forward, if they don't build this thing a full rung up the ladder where they do add that missing piece in the starting lineup, they do figure out some other elements of their rotation to kind of round this thing, you know, another notch closer to really competing for a title, that's when you start to worry about the fact that all your picks are out the door to Utah that are coming in years after Donovan's contract expires. So, sure, like that could sound a bit doomsday, but a lot of these teams a lot of teams in the NBA operate under. Well, next year is when the, you know, stuff really starts to hit the fan. So it's not something I think Cleveland people are really concerned with right now, but I do think it's like a little speck on the horizon. It has to be, just being a small market that, I mean, that was something that I think made Cleveland feel compelled ultimately to go to Donovan Knott, was that he was already on a long-term deal that had team control. So he kind of didn't really have a choice to stick around for a little while. But once that contract gets, you know, starts to decline and free agency starts to be something you can see in the distance, that's when teams and agents start to really put their heads together and figure out the real likelihood of a long-term marriage.
Jake, looking to the rest of this roster here, you know, they've got to see if they can make a deal with Caris LeVert here. Obviously, there's been some talk about them gauging, not talk, sorry, we've talked about the idea of gauging trade value on Jared Allen around the NBA this offseason. In terms of those two cases, both Caris and the expectation on whether he'll be back and what kind of market there is, and Jared Allen's value, what can you speak to on those two?
I think with Caris, I don't see a ton of trade value for him right now. I've heard a couple of teams allegedly that are interested in pursuing him. I don't want to say them now because I don't have them necessarily verified. But I think there will be teams who are interested in acquiring him. And then if they don't have the absolute cap space to do that, there could be some sign and trade mechanism to make that happen, to give Cleveland something back, to make the money work. But I don't think there's like a bunch of teams that are really canvassing the market for Caris LeVert right now. He's definitely a good player, and I think there's a strong likelihood he comes back. Cleveland likes him. He's been viewed, from my understanding, as like the benchmark for that, you know, wing piece we keep talking about. Like, is there going to be someone they can find better than Caris before they give him an extension or a new contract? So, I don't think there's going to be a massively robust market for him otherwise. I'm writing about it tonight. After we hang up, I'm going to kind of put some music on and finish out the story about how the point guard market's really going to be busy this summer. We're going to see, you know, this Chris Paul thing in Phoenix with Kyrie looming on the distance, and James Harden's situation with Houston and Philadelphia, down to Fred VanVleet and Austin Reeves. Like, there's going to be a lot of tug and pull and dominoes falling on the point guard market. But the wings, there's really not a ton of Dillon Brooks is probably like a big name. You could say that I think we'll have interest from Detroit and Houston, but I haven't really heard Caris. I haven't heard his name come up with those type of teams that actually have big money in free agency.
Why did the Suns cut Chris Paul?
So they haven't cut him yet. And I think that is the likely outcome here. Because to answer why, like, they do not want to pay him $30 million for next season. And there's a guarantee date upcoming on June 28th, where if they waive him by that point, they only have to pay him $15.8 million, which, I mean, I would like to only be paid $15.8 million too. But that's $15 million in savings for Phoenix on their cap. And ideally for the Suns, they would like to be able to get Chris Paul back at a veteran minimum. So you combine that, you know, $3.8 million he could make with the 15.8, you know, that's like an $18 million payday for him. That's something that I think Phoenix would expect a veteran would on the decline would be willing to take. But now that this has gotten out publicly, and they're going to try to talk trade scenarios, like, will there be some sign trade opportunities with other people out there? You know, could there even be something super bonkers, like Chris Paul goes out the door and a sign trade for Kyrie Irving? Like, all those things are on the table and going to be talked about, you could guarantee. But I think there's a real chance that he gets waived and he takes this as a bit of an affront and tries to go find different situations for him to play. You know, is that in L.A. with LeBron? I mean, he's going to want to be in a contending situation, but the Suns, I don't think, ever intended to pay him that $30 million from the second his play started to decline this season, and then especially when his body failed him once again in the postseason.
Follow this man on the old Twitter machine, at Jake L. Fisher. Jake, great stuff, man. Love seeing you continue to survive. Thrive. That's the word. They rhyme.
Well, Jake, you're in New York, right?
I'm in Brooklyn, yeah.
In Brooklyn. How's the skies out there?
Thank you for asking. It's kind of nuts. I had lunch with someone, a scout friend, like right outside Times Square yesterday, and like the orange glow was truly apocalyptic. It was nuts. I will never forget. I've lived here for 7 years now. I will never forget that sky yesterday. That's how crazy it was.
All right. If any aliens show up, you let us know. And if any aliens show up over here, 10-foot or otherwise, we'll let you know. Okay.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks so much, Jake Fisher.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.